Going Linux, episode 233, Linux Software Equivalents in Business. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, Linux equivalents to commonly used Windows programs within business. Hey, Bill, how are things going for you this month?
Going well. How about you?
Really good. We've got a very long episode today, thanks to one of our listeners, and we should probably get right into it, but any news? Are you switching any distributions or anything we should know about that's not on Google Plus?
No, I'm still running PC Linux OS like I said I would. I've been a good boy.
Oh, good.
I haven't switched or changed or anything, so I have been working on becoming more involved in the community and looking at that aspect of things. So, yes, and if I had switched, I would never hear the end of it. So, no, I'm still I'm staying there for a while. So,
yeah.
I'm going to be a boring person. But you're right. I was looking at the show notes. It is long. So I would say let's just jump into this.
All right. Let's go. So in this episode, we have, as I said at the beginning, as we both said at the beginning, the Linux equivalents to commonly used Windows programs. And the episode was actually suggested by Troy, who's a regular listener to both the podcast and to the Computer America episodes. Troy is actually known as Jack Death in the Computer America chat room. And Troy suggested this episode and even provided all of the details and the show notes. So thanks to Troy for that. He did all the work for us. And although there are other applications that could be recommended, and those applications may be the default for your particular Linux distribution, the applications mentioned in this episode are the ones recommended by Troy and his business. And Troy, you are the honorary chief executive minion for this podcast.
Yay!
Okay. Well done, Troy. Thank you.
Yeah, he really did a lot of work.
Yes.
So, Troy's suggestion. Our shop has been converting many customers to Linux, and that's a question that comes up a lot. What kind of software can I get to replace what I was using before? Not stuff that's necessarily suited to one particular area of business, stuff that many people use in a variety of businesses.
Right. And in a follow-up to the specific suggestion for the episode, Troy provided a little bit of background about his shop and what he does. So let me read from that email. We thought you might like to hear a little bit about Troy's business and how that relates to our episode here. So reading from Troy's email, these are some of the things that we tend to see at our shop, which is Home and Business Computer Services in Appleton, Wisconsin. We have a private school with about 150 student PCs and 20 to 30 teacher computers. They are on a tight budget and are having trouble coming up with the money to replace their antiquated XP machines and Windows 2000 server. However, they absolutely must have Active Directory and don't want to lose it. We could fiddle with Samba 4 as a Windows server replacement, but it's really still in beta and not for production use. Also, it seems to have a bit of a learning curve when compared to Active Directory. So they think that they may want to keep the server, but upgrade all the workstations to Linux. They were thinking about formatting their existing computers and installing some kind of Linux, either Ubuntu, Linux Mint, or SUSE Linux for education. But again, they need to be able to authenticate on an Active Directory server. They need their home folders, shared resources, etc. I've been looking at a product that can be installed on a Windows server that sort of acts as a layer and allows Unix, Mac, Linux, iOS, and Android systems to authenticate to Active Directory. It's called Centrify. They offer it for free, or they have a paid option if you want support. Troy R. Schultz, a.k.a. Jack Death. Thanks, Troy, for that summary of some of the things that you do.
Wow. And just some additional information. If you live or run a business in the Appleton, Wisconsin area and need a computer guy to help you, get in touch with Troy at Home and Business Computer Services. And his website is www.hbcs.com. And his address is in the show notes if you're interested.
Okay, very good. Shall we get started, Bill, with our episode here?
I think we shall.
Okay, so our first software that people use in business, of course, is Adobe Acrobat Reader, and that's available on Windows. The Linux recommendation that Troy makes is KPDF. And as I said, you may be running a GNOME-based system for your Linux, and you may be using Evince or something like that, but this is the one that Troy recommends, KPDF, and he provided some information about it, as he did for all of the other applications. People want to be able to view PDF files quickly and easily. We usually recommend KPDF, but if someone uses Google Apps for Business, they can view PDFs right in their Chrome browser.
Okay, the other Windows software that businesses use is Adobe Illustrator and CorelDRAW. And the Linux recommendation would be Inkscape. And Troy writes, some of our customers, including myself, do vector graphic design. Some are sign shops. Honestly, most use Corel Graphics Suite, but many are begging Corel to make a Linux version, or at the very least, a Wine port for it. Some have elected to use Inkscape.
Right. Okay, our next software is Adobe Photoshop or Corel Photo Paint on Windows. And the recommendation under Linux is GIMP, Cinepaint, or MyPaint. Again, some of our graphic design customers and photographers need to be able to edit photos. Some actually paint pictures for advertising. And that's the software we recommend.
Yeah, Troy also says that businesses use Microsoft Publisher and Adobe PageMaker. And the Linux recommendation that he offers is Scribus. Folks in offices have gotten used to MS Publisher tend to use Scribus. The only beef they have is that you can't import your publisher files into it. But I always point out that you can't import publisher files into anything except Publisher. They should be using a real page layout program.
Right. And for the Windows program Adobe Lightroom, Troy recommends Darktable for Linux. This is a really big one for a couple of photographer customers we have. One of them, who is just getting started, has no problem using Darktable and really likes it.
The Windows program that Troy lists next is AIM, ICQ, Yahoo Chat, MS Messenger, MIRC, Trillion, Google Talk, MySpace Chat, Facebook Chat, and Skype. The Linux recommendations are Pigeon, Empathy, and Chatzilla. He writes, there are a large variety of chat programs on the market. Most are specifically geared towards the chat services who provide the chat program. However, there are some programs like Trillion, which will let you chat with people on multiple chat services or through one program/interface. The closest equivalent I found that is the most user-friendly is Pigeon.
Yeah, and I've used Pigeon quite a bit, and it does handle a lot of different protocols for chat. I have to agree with you.
I've never used Pigeon.
Yeah, it's actually quite a useful program. Okay. The next one is Windows Media Player, iTunes, Real Player, Winamp, in the category of music players, of course. And Troy's Linux recommendation, Banshee, Rhythmbox, Audacious, and Amarok. WMP and iTunes are just a pain. iTunes is horribly slow. Real Player is not reliable at all. Winamp is fantastic. Of the Linux equivalents, most of our people like Rhythmbox the best so far. Many people who work in offices like to listen to music on their computers instead of having a radio or CD player on their desk while they work.
The Windows programs that Troy mentions next are iView Media Pro, Adobe Lightroom, and Picasa. And the Linux recommendations is Digicam, FSpot, Shotwell, Darktable, and Picasa. We are specifically talking about photo management and organization. We've had business and home users that all want something to do this easily. So far, most people have liked Digicam and Picasa the best.
All right. Next, Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, and Math. And the Linux alternatives recommended by Troy are, of course, LibreOffice Suite and OpenOffice Suite. He writes, these should be obvious. We put LibreOffice not only on the Linux machines we sell, but on the new Windows machines too. Cross-platform is wonderful.
Yes, it is. The programs listed next are MS Front Page, Adobe Dreamweaver, MS Expression Web, and SharePoint. And the Linux alternatives would be Bluefish, Composer, and InView. He writes, not too many people use FrontPage anymore since it's discontinued, but there are a couple that still fiddle with the last version that was out. For those that used to use Dreamweaver, most like Nauvoo, the best overall. It's available for Win, Mac, and Linux.
Right, and as we mentioned in our episode about HTML editors, InView is one of those programs that is not, it doesn't have all of the latest features, and we've recommended Blue Griffin in the past as well. So Troy, you might want to take a look at Blue Griffin as an alternative, although it's not in the repositories of many Linux distributions. It is a good one. Our next is Internet Explorer, Firefox, Google Chrome, and Safari. And of course, these are web browsers. Troy's recommendations for these for Linux are Firefox, Opera, Chromium, Google Chrome for Linux, i.e. just plain sucks bricks. Safari is slow. We put Chrome on all our Windows machines. We put Firefox and Google Chrome on our Linux machines. We usually use Google Chrome instead of Chromium because a brand is already familiar to our customer base and because we are Google Apps for Business resellers. That makes sense.
Troy writes with our next list of software is MS Outlook, Windows Mail, Windows Live Mail, Endora, and the Linux alternative would be Evolution and Thunderbird. For those in a business environment, Evolution is a comfortable transition if they have been used to Outlook since it looks so much alike. However, that being said, most of our customers have loved Thunderbird. Plus, if they are Google Apps customers, there are a variety of plugins to add Google Apps synchronization support for mail, calendar, and contacts. There are several plugins we always put in a Thunderbird install. ESC to close, Memoize to tray, Google Calendar, Google Tasks sync, Google Contacts sync, and more.
Okay, and next is Microsoft Paint. And the Linux recommendations are Tux Paint and My Paint. Believe it or not, this tends to be a hotspot with some customers, both business and home users. They don't want to lose Microsoft Paint. Oh my goodness, that would be the end of the world. Please spare me. While Tux Paint is suited more for small children, you'd be surprised how many adults like it. However, a more professional program with more features, and the one I prefer is MyPaint. Never tried MyPaint.
No.
Have to give that a try.
The next software listed is the Nero Burning ROM, Roxy Creator, and Image Burn. And the Linux alternative would be Brasero. If you've ever used ImageBurn on Windows, I think it totally beats everything else available. It's so simple to use, it's very fast, and it just plain works. However, Brasero on Linux is the same. It's really the best alternative. And I just want to throw one out there. I use K9 Copy. I think it's also really good, so Troy might want to take a look at that.
Yeah. So that Brasero is the one, of course, that comes on most Debian-based, GNOME-based Linux versions, and I've used it a lot. I've also used the one that comes on KDE. What's it called?
canine?
No, there's another one.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
K3B.
Yeah, K3B. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, so all of those. But Troy's recommendation is Bracero, and I have to admit, that is very, very easy to use. And I've tried Image Burn on Windows, and it is very similar. It's just as easy.
I just want to point out something real quick. You know, I know that most of our listeners know, but you can install KDE apps on GNOME and vice versa. GNOME apps on KDE.
Right.
So if you find something you like better, you don't have to use a KDE app or a GNOME app. You can use what you like.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, our next category is feed readers. So for Windows, News Crawler, RSS feed reader. And the Linux alternative that Troy recommends, he's actually got two, Aggregator, A-K-G-R-E-G-A-T-O-R, Aggregator, and Feedly app for Chrome. He writes, honestly, I used to use Google Reader and was very, very put out when they closed down the project. Me too, Troy. So were many, many other people. One company stepped up and worked with Google to take over handling Google's old customer feeds, and that would be Feedly. They have apps for almost all major devices and platforms, except Linux. However, you can use Feedly in your web browser, and it works great. We usually install the Feedly app in Chrome. And Troy, that's exactly what I use as well.
The next software Troy lists is Notepad, TextPad, and Notepad++. The Linux recommendations are Gedit and Kate. Almost everyone uses Windows Notepad for one thing or another. For those businesses that are trying to troubleshoot website page issues, they want a text editor that shows line numbers so they can easily debug their page designs. We usually recommend Gedit. Now, I have to say, I agree with him that Kate is my personal favorite. It's awesome.
Yeah, and Gedit is available both for Linux and for Windows. You can go to the gnome.org site and download a Windows version of Gedit, and I've tried it on Windows at work, and it works just fine. I prefer in under Windows Notepad++, of course, because it has a bunch of additional features specifically for doing scripts and things, much like Gedit does, but it takes advantage of the Windows environment itself, much like Gedit takes advantage of the Linux environment. So you have a little more flexibility either way. But I think that overall, Gedit is the best program under Linux, and if you're using KDE, Kate is the way to go. All right, our next set of applications under Windows that Troy mentions are Partition Magic, Acronis, and many, many others. And we just completed an episode and a screencast on this. The Linux recommendation from Troy, Gparted. Being a computer support shop, we have to partition disks all the time. There really just isn't anything better than Gparted. It seems to be the easiest and most user-friendly. And they even have a live CD you can run the application off of while you are building or rebuilding your system. And if you're interested in finding out how to use Gparted, take a look at screencasts.goinglinux.com and look at episode number 7.
The next software that Troy lists is Quicken and Microsoft Money, and the Linux alternatives would be GNU Cash and KMyMoney. He writes, honestly, most businesses still use QuickBooks. There really isn't just an equivalent out there that I've found that does what they do the way they do it. There's a reason they are an industry standard. However, for those customers that need something for their home or some small business finances, most have opted to use GNU Cash. Some have liked KMyMoney, though.
All right. And for the variety of torrent readers on Windows, the recommendation for Linux from Troy is KTorrent or Transmission, the KDE version and the GNOME pre-installed version for most GNOME desktops. There are so many torrent readers out there that people use to download or share files and video presentations. Most of the customers on Windows usually use BitTorrent, I have found that most people like KTorrent the best, though.
All right. Well, the next software is it Cineplayer?
Yep.
And WinDVD. And the Linux alternatives would be VLC and Totem. He writes, we have home and business users that tend to watch a lot of DVDs on their computers. Some of our customers are financial planners who record some of their seminars and want to present them or share them with their customers. They burn their presentations to DVDs. Some actually want movies at their desk while they work. There simply is no better multimedia player than VLC. It plays just about every media format on the planet and just plain works. To make the transition more comfortable, we always install the Windows Media Player 12 skin on it after installation. This way it looks a lot like the old media player they were used to before. And I have to say, if VLC can't play it, it's broke.
Right, right. I didn't know they had a Windows Media Player skin. So,
I didn't either.
Yeah. All right, the next one is Cakewalk on Windows and, of course, Audacity on Linux. Some of our customers are into music production, or they are editing audio from seminars they have done for their MP3 streams to their customers. Both kinds of customers love Audacity, both on Windows and Linux platforms.
The next software we have is Windows Movie Maker and Adobe Premiere. And the Linux alternatives are Cinelera, Kino, OpenShot, VideoLand Movie Creator. Those of our customers that are actually producing their video presentations or home movies usually ask for an alternative to Windows Movie Maker. So far, they seem to like Cinelera or OpenShot the best.
All right, and for FTP, under Windows, you might use WSFTP or WinFTP. And under Linux, you, of course, want to use FileZilla. There are a ton of FTP programs out there. While there are several open source equivalents, most people, whether on Windows or Linux, like FileZilla the best.
And then he writes, with a variety of music ripping programs and the best alternative for Linux would be SoundJuicer. We've got some customers that want to rip music to MP3s to install on the drives of the systems that manage their whole music on their phone systems. Or they like to listen to music while they work, but don't like having to swap CDs all the time.
Regarding the Windows variety of programs for tethering a DSLR camera to a computer for remote shooting, he recommends Entangle under Linux. Another thing our photographer customers want is a way to tether their DSLR cameras to a laptop so they can do tethered shooting and see their images on the screen right afterwards. I am also a photographer and have searched for the same thing. While there are better, more seamless solutions, those usually involve spending a bunch of money on special hardware interface devices and special software and wireless modules, etc. You can plug your camera into your Linux laptop with a USB cable and use Entangle. It took me a long time to find this program, but it works great, at least with the Canon camera I and a couple of our customers use.
For a variety of the scanning software available on Linux, the recommendation for Linux would be Xane. Many times you buy a scanner or MFC device, it comes with the manufacturer's scanning software. Much of it is bloated and very slow. Other times it will use the Twain driver or some sort of scan directly into the program they wish to edit the image in. For example, Corel, Photo Paint, or GIMP. Xane is, in my opinion, the best standalone scanning software available.
Next, Windows Remote Desktop. The Linux recommendation from Troy is KRDC or Vinagre Remote Desktop Viewer. Most of our business customers need to be able to remote connect to a desktop computer or Windows server back at the office. While a couple use VNC, most use Microsoft Terminal Services. The best RDC program I've found on Linux so far is KRDC. It seems to be the most compatible, reliable, and fastest.
For the HP Universal Print Driver, the Linux recommendation would be the HP Universal Print Driver for Linux. Instead of downloading a specific driver for a specific model of HP printer, HP has been offering a universal print driver which is supposed to allow your computer to connect to and use most of their printers using this single driver. It seems to work pretty darn well. HP also happens to be a really big Linux supporter, so they offer this and many other drivers for Linux on their site. While you can download the latest version for your particular distro, I've had better luck installing the latest version directly from their site.
Yep, and I have an HP printer, and I have to concur with Troy on this one, that Universal Print Driver is the best. Next, the Windows Vista and 7 Post-it Note widget. And the alternative under Linux, Tomboy Notes. I can't believe the number of customers who actually use those desktop widgets, especially the Post-it Notes. If they have to get a new computer, they complain they don't want to lose their notes. The closest equivalent I can find is Tomboy Notes, and it's full-featured and works great. And I have to say, the thing they probably put on those desktop Post-it Notes the most are passwords. But anyway, moving along.
The next software Troy lists is Adobe Encore and DVD Fab. The Linux recommendations are Handbrake, Make MKV for Linux. Many of our financial planning customers who like to record their seminars to share with others want to convert their video to a format that can be viewed on their iPads. Many of our home users want to save their RIP movies to their iPads. Handbrake really is the best solution for this.
Okay, I have to remember that. Next, Windows Backup. In the Linux recommendation, Back in Time, Deja Dupe, or Simple Backup. Customers, both large and small, business and home, always ask what they can use for backup. Honestly, I've had people use all three from the above listed apps, and they all like them for one reason or another. Of course, this also depends on whether you want to initiate a simple backup yourself or to automate a backup on a schedule.
The next software he lists for Windows is VMware. The Linux recommendation is VirtualBox. He writes, "This has been sort of a sticky issue depending upon the customer's needs. For a lot of our business customers, when they buy a Windows server from us, I install VMware ESXi as their primary operating system and then install their Windows servers into it as virtual machines. This allows for easy expansion later on in case they need additional servers. They just virtualize it. They can remote manage their virtual machines using vSphere client. There is even a vSphere client app for iPad that works great too. However, some of our smaller customers just want to add another server, maybe a SQL, Untangle, etc., to their existing server. Or they want to virtualize another machine for some other special purpose. We always recommend VirtualBox in these cases. You can set up a customized Linux system to run VirtualBox in a manner similar to ESXi, but it just isn't as polished or easy to use. Keep in mind, VMware is Linux-based anyway. Another thing you can do with either VMware or VirtualBox is to create virtual workstations on your virtualization server. You can then install Linux-based thin client software on an old machine you have lying around, or boot to a special thin client flash drive, and you now have a remote virtual desktop machine that runs off your server.
Okay, the Windows program next listed by Troy is something called Fraps, which I've never heard of before, F-R-A-P-S.
Oh, I have.
Have you? Okay. And yeah. The Linux recommendation would be Desktop Recorder. Many home users, like gamers, use Fraps to record their gaming sessions to post and share on YouTube. However, we've had businesses that record desktop sessions while they are making how-to tutorials for their customers. on how to do things on their computers. Okay, desktop recorder.
The next Windows software is Windows 8 Metro and or Apple OS X Dock. And the Linux recommendations are Compiz and CairoDock. There are those that think that Windows 8 has a more polished look to it, but they still detest it and how it works. And there are those that love the beautiful, shiny, polished look of OS X and the dock interface. While Ubuntu has a sort of dock, it's just not quite the same as the 3D dock on a Mac. Believe it or not, I've gotten more feedback on this from some of our business customers than from the home users, so I can install Compiz on their systems and turn on several effects like desktop cube and wobbly windows, or annotating on the screen with fire, etc. This really blows them away since they like to show off to their colleagues, "Hey, I bet your computer can't do this," that sort of thing. It's quite funny. I also may add CairoDock for those users that like the Mac interface. I can make it look and work exactly like the Mac dock, or I can change the look of it in a variety of ways. The dock can be flat, 3D, shiny, plain, bouncing icons, zooming icons, and so on and so forth. I'd have to say using Compiz and Cairo on my personal laptop has been the number one selling point that has gotten many customers to switch to Linux. They can see things they simply cannot do in Windows or Mac computer and are just blown away. Many times it doesn't even matter if we give them the default application of Ubuntu or Linux Mint without the effects. They are still just excited at that point to be using something new.
Yeah. Okay, Troy, you've done a great job listing all of this stuff, and we really appreciate what you recommend in your shop for people switching to Linux. Quite a lengthy list and some very useful programs there. We learned a few things ourselves.
We sure did.
Yeah. Okay, and now our Hacks, Tips, and Tweaks segment from Nightwise. Let's listen to what he has to say this time around.
Hello, Larry. Hey, Bill. This is Nightwise from the Nightwise.com podcast calling, the podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks, with another cross-platform tip. We all love watching our movies and TV shows that we have legally ripped off our DVDs to our hard drives, and we love watching them on every screen possible. Wouldn't it be cool if there would be a piece of software that would allow you to watch whatever you have on your hard drive on any screen in the house, no matter what operating system you're on, and no matter where you are? The answer to this is Plex. Plex is a media server. Unlike XBMC, which is a media front end for your television, Plex consists of a server and a client. Let me explain. First, there is XBMC. XBMC is an application that runs on Linux, Windows, and the Mac that allows you to set up a very nice looking media center for your big screen TV. You can point XBMC at various locations on your hard drive where you have your movies and TV shows. Hit play and XBMC will play them on the big screen. Nice, but that's about it. Plex is a little bit more complex. Complex, get it? Plex, complex. It consists of a server and a client. The server side you can install on the server computer where you have all of your media. Now this can be a Windows machine, a Mac, or a Linux machine. Plex is available in all flavors, but let's, for the sake of argument, say that you're going to install it on your Linux machine. If you run a Debian-based distribution, you can just type sudo apt-get install Plex Media Server. It will install the server, and you can actually reach and configure the server via the interface of the browser. You just hit the URL of the system where you installed the Plex server, and you'll be presented by a very nice looking webpage that asks you where your libraries are. You can tell Plex where you've stored your music, where you've stored your TV shows, and where you've stored your music and your photos. Plex will automatically browse through the directories and see if it recognizes what is inside. Based on the movie title or the title of the TV show, it will go online and download the metadata. And it will present this metadata on the screen in a very nice form. So let's say, for example, you're an incredible fan of Honey Boo Boo. You have purchased and ripped all episodes of season 1 of Honey Boo Boo to watch them over and over and over again. You have stored them on your hard drive and pointed your Plex media server at the directory. Plex will, after doubting if you're still sane, go and index what is inside the folder and get the metadata for Honey Boo Boo off the internet. This will be the album art, the show description, and the fascinating summary of what Honey Boo Boo has been up in Season 1, Episode 3. Plex will even keep count of how many times you have watched that single episode over and over and over again. The cool thing with Plex, however, is that it's a server, so it will encode that media on the fly. Encode it to where, I hear you say. Well, how about everywhere? If you are on your local LAN and open up a browser, go to the URL of your Plex server, you'll be presented with the same interface. But you can hit play and stream that episode right in your browser. If you want to listen to music, you can choose the track of your liking and play that episode right in your browser. If you want to watch your photos that you pointed your Plex server at, you can just do so. Click the photo and there it is. So instead of XBMC, which is only a client that is pointed towards a directory of content, Plex is a media server that does the same, but is also able to stream that content to any screen in the house. If your computer has a browser, you can use it with Plex. If you open up the right port on your firewall, you can even do it from the outside. So you're on holiday, and you find yourself bored to tears as 5 exotic dancers are going around some kind of mystical pole dance, and you think, I would rather watch Honey Boo Boo instead. You can just open up your browser, surf back home, enter the correct port for your Plex server, and watch Honey Boo Boo right there. Plex will actually see that you are not on the LAN and actually adapt the encoding process, so you'll have the best possible experience while watching Honey Boo Boo abroad. Plex is also available on Plex clients for Android, for iOS, and coming to Google, it's coming to the Google Stick as well, and I completely forgot the name of the Google Stick, so please forgive me. There is a Plex app for Chrome, so Plex works on your Chromebook just like an application. And it is a very, very cool way to stream your content to whatever screen you want to use. If even you have a jailbroken Apple TV, you can install the Plex app on there as well. But if you don't, all you need is a browser. Plex is cross-platform, both the server and the clients are available literally anywhere. And so is your favorite episode of Honey Boo Boo. So this was Nightwise for the Nightwise.com podcast, a podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. We will be doing an extensive show on Plex, how it works, how to install it, how to get it running, and how to make it work for you in one of our upcoming episodes in Season 8 of Nightwise.com. On a closing note, this is ground control to Tom. Tom, Captain Tom, calling Captain Tom, please do not extend the evacuation slide in mid-flight. Do not extend the evacuation Never mind, we'll see you on the ground. This was Nightwise for Nightwise.com, signing off.
Thanks, Nightwise, as always. Your tips are very, very valuable.
Yeah, thanks, Nightwise.
The name of the Google Stick that you were trying to remember is Google Chromecast. Yes. And I'm very much looking forward to learning a little bit more about Plex as you cover that in a little more depth in season 8 of the Nightwise podcast. So we're all looking forward to that. Thank you again, Nightwise. Okay, our next episode will be our listener feedback episode. Until then, go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles, show notes, and contact information, as well as links to download and subscribe. We are the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast Google Plus community.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.